Thus there were surprises as well as disappointments. They took their time though with this steal, if one can call it that. They had their number and color cards and knew from which items they could choose. They were rather selective and did not decide on the spot. Those who thought this was the opportunity to obtain such a precious garment were rather disappointed when led to a table or display, where only modest items were to be seen, and told, "At present you can choose from these items. With a headband you can improve your appearance quite well." Some were rather disappointed at not being able to acquire what others were wearing, and they received the advice, "You don't have to choose the headband now, as you can work for further awards in the spiritual world which will entitle you to an object of greater value." Some spirits returned to air houses and consulted with neighbors whether it would be advisable to select a headband, a belt or a shawl to improve their appearance, or should they wait and work eagerly at some assigned task to earn further awards and be entitled to choose something more valuable. But many asked an angel's advice, "What shall I do? Take what I can get at present or wait and obtain more credit first?" And the divine spirits gave them sound advice and tried to guide the newcomers to their best advantage, helping them to earn additional awards. Once they knew what they wanted to have and where, they inquired what they could do in order to earn it. If they really wanted something particularly precious, they were told that it would take a very long time to earn it, and that would also entail moving from their present dwelling to another plane to accomplish a task. The decision was theirs. Some chose something nice, hoping to raise their standing. Others decided to wait and earn more merit. But now I would like to say how happy I was to see some proudly leaving the big house in their fine Roman or Greek garments and returning to their dwellings. Others returned with more modest items, such as a belt, shawl or headband. Or maybe they wore a colorful ribbon which they twisted around their arms or legs in order to look like an angel, though they guessed that much more was required to become angel-like. Nevertheless, they had a sense of belonging with the angels, with the elevated spiritual world. Thus I saw these spiritual brothers and sisters passing by me, walking up and down the street. And on entering their house in their beautiful dress, they were received by their neighbors with cheers and joy. All the spiritual beings living in this place have long overcome many feelings of envy or jealousy. They helped one another to gain such possessions and to see their wishes fulfilled. They have counseled each other for a long time before deciding what should be done, and a harmonious atmosphere prevailed in every house. Still, they differed considerably in their level of development. Nevertheless, all inhabitants of these houses had the opportunity to earn appreciable rewards in a relatively short time, and thus they were constantly encouraged to greater achievements. From time to time, everyone assembled in the big square as heavenly messengers held up these garments and pieces of jewelry, gladly displaying them before the brothers and sisters living here. They explained in which plane these treasures had been produced, for every single item had to be created. It is not as people on earth often believe, that in heaven one simply has to express a wish or just say a word and the wish is immediately fulfilled. No. Those precious garments had to be created. Indeed, the spiritual cloths had first to be woven out of spiritual material. You on earth cannot believe that this is so, yet I can only tell you, everything you on earth process and produce must also be processed and produced in the spiritual world, as long as such things are needed or desired. Every kind of material that you possess on earth has its origin in spirit. It simply is condensed matter. Therefore it also exists in pure spiritual form and is processed in the spiritual world. There it is required in a defined spiritual form for spiritual life, just as banana beings need it in a coarser condensed form. What you have on earth exists in the spiritual world as well, be it garments, shoes and all the other things you use to improve your appearance. All these nice things exist here but cannot be bought with money or in exchange. The price here is love and service rendered, all virtues which assist others and thereby contribute something to higher life. Rewards are based on an individual's higher thinking, his devotion to and his affirmation of the divine, resulting in vibrations that bring forth various shades of color and numbers. These mark the spiritual brothers and sisters and reveal the order of merit and the individual's claim to reward. Their level of development is thus shown and is quite obvious. However, lower spirits are ignorant of this, because their vibrations make such insight impossible. As in my case, such a task must be taught in order to know what the colors and numbers mean. It is a great marvel, everyone reflects his own true self by his devotion, his spiritual affirmation or negation. This just by way of explanation, as you often find it difficult to believe these facts. The spiritual beings in the big square enjoyed the angels' accounts of who fashioned all those wonderful garments, welded the headbands and bracelets, cut and set the gems and so forth. Often they go to those planes accessible to them where they can compliment the artists for their fine work and in this way bring joy to their gifted spiritual brothers and sisters. Thus life is very busy on this long road, and after the deserving spiritual beings have chosen and taken the precious things away, more arrive. The supply in the big hall must constantly be replenished so that there will always be enough for those entitled to receive these treasures. There are brothers and sisters who move on and new ones arrive bringing along their own merits which entitle them to such precious objects. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I very much doubt that you will be able to picture for yourselves the tremendous beauty of this place, even if you manage to escape in spirit from your earthly plane. Despite my having described the enormity of the permanently blooming trees, the magnificent gardens, the views into the distance and the delightful atmosphere and light of our world, all of this can hardly be explained, nor can its vastness or its greatness. All these brothers and sisters have earned such merit during their lifetime on earth which allows them to live in this beautiful spiritual plane. Even if they are undecided and disoriented at the beginning, their desire to earn one of these precious dresses will pretty soon be fulfilled, and they will look like the angels in their fragrant garments. Dressed like this, they make such a harmonious and lovely sight. And who wouldn't like to look like an angel and stride along with such elegance? Everyone living in this wonderful world wishes nothing else but to wear those refined clothes as the angels do. Those sublime beings who take one by the hand when entering and opening one's eyes in the spiritual work. One only wants to call out in admiration, how beautiful you are, how wonderful must be the world you come from, where you live there must be happiness, harmony and peace. Just like these brothers and sisters, I, too, had to earn all the beautiful garments and items. I had to strive and work hard until I had earned enough merit to be given this lovely duty. I also entered the hall and timidly held out my hands to the welcoming spirit, asking to be handed the slate with the colors and numbers which would allow me to collect my reward. I, too, was advised to fulfill an extra duty which would allow me to acquire the loveliest garment on display. Later it was my task to welcome the new arrivals, to read their soul and hand them the slate with which to claim their reward. Of course, I'm not always on duty. I can walk along the long road in the opposite direction to this enormous house, for there is no way through to the other side. As I said, the road leads steeply up to the rock house. One has to descend and then follow the straight road, passing by the many houses through many valleys and villages. Everywhere there are tasks one can fulfill in order to increase one's reward. Thus I live happily and only wish that you too might come to this place to marvel at its great beauty and magnificence. Now I return to my wonderful world. May God's blessing come upon you, may you remain strong, and if not yet strong, may you develop into a firm believer in the spiritual world. And remember, whatever you touch with your hands is a mere condensation of what we have in our world in ethereal form. I pray that this happy and marvelous world becomes at some distant time your own happy home. This tea wish in Jesus Christ's name. God bless. Address by the Ascending Spirit Karen, received on 3 May 1967 in German through Beatrice Brunner. Amelia, a never-to-be-forgotten experience. Personal report, 5 May 1965. God bless. My name is Amelia. I am going to tell you about what I experienced after I returned to the spiritual world of God. I will touch briefly, too, on the earthly life I left behind, since what I accomplished in that life formed the basis for my experiences here in the world of spirit. I had a hard life. I was married and the mother of a good many children. My husband was not kind to me. In fact, he often beat me. And later on, I had no support from my children. My husband had no religious belief. I did, however, and I was beaten for it. Had a very rough time with him. But even so, he couldn't take my faith away from me. I used to pray for him and for my children. I used to go to church, too, and I always suffered for it, when he realized that where I had gone. I held on to my belief and my faith and got right up to the end of my life. Nevertheless, I was always sad and not once did I ever feel at all happy. There was simply never any reason to. Only the strength of my faith carried me along, only the power of trusting in a better life and in God's justice. These were what gave me strength and got me through life. My husband and one of my sons left the earth world before me, and so after my husband's death I had a few years in which I could practice my faith as I wanted to. I was free to go to church, without being punished for it later. Now I'd like to describe for you the things I have experienced in the spiritual world, and tell you how life has been for me here. I was ill for a while and I had to be nursed. I knew that I had reached the end of my life, and I was glad that I would be allowed to leave the earth world. I had already begun to sense that a better life awaited me. I had lived my life for God and for the Redeemer. I had entrusted my whole life, all my hopes to them, and this was to be to my benefit. As I lay dying, my family and friends were all around my bed, and I could hear them saying it wouldn't be long now. I could understand everything that was going on, but I wasn't able to answer anymore. I just hadn't the strength in me. Also, I could see more than just the people at my bedside. I could see beautiful figures coming towards me. One figure in particular stood out. He smiled at me in such a lovely way, and made gestures with his hands, but which I couldn't at the time understand. Only later did I find out what this angel meant. He wanted to tell me by way of these gestures that in a moment he was going to lead me by the hand into God's work. But my thinking was, of course, still tied up with worldly concerns. Standing beside this kindly, affectionate-looking figure was another angel with rather stern features. He appeared to stand waiting, too. My eyes focused only upon the kind-looking angel, and I gradually realized that I did not have long to live. Then I saw my husband and my son coming towards me. I found myself able to say their names out loud. My surprise was so great that I found the strength to call out both these names. My relatives, standing around me, said, "Look, she's delirious. It won't be long now." I could hear them talking, but I had no desire to answer them. All I wanted now was to hold out my hands to this wonderful-looking being, but my hands were heavy and had no strength in them, and I found I couldn't move them at all. Then I must have lost consciousness, for when I next opened my eyes I found myself in a very different setting. Everything was bright, and there was light all around me. I was no longer in the narrow room I had been in before, and I couldn't see my relatives around me anymore. Even my husband and son were no longer with me. Quite different. Very elegant looking figures now stood all around me, beings I had never seen before, all gazing intently at me. The nearest figure of all, however, was once again the figure of the kindly angel. He smiled at me, and I smiled back at him. I felt so light. Effortlessly I raised both my hands, and as I did so, he came over to me and took my hands in his. Next to this kindly angel I stood, once again, the rather sterner looking angel I had noticed before, but he, too, seemed to be well disposed towards me. I was taken by both my hands and helped to move forward a few steps. I looked all around me to try to see where I was, and doing so, it felt as if a mask had dropped away from my face. Everything about me felt so light, and yet I still had a body, and the same hands, and I was still wearing clothes. I hasn't yet had a chance to see what my face looked like in this new world. All I could do was react with astonishment at everything that was happening. It was the kindly figure who uttered the first words I was able to clearly understand. "Dearest sister," he said to me, "I was your guardian angel in your earthly life." And, with a gesture of his hand indicating the other spirit being with him, he continued, "This is your spiritual teacher." And the second angel made a simple bow of his head. My guardian angel led me to the middle of a beautiful garden and directed me to an area covered by a large awning where chairs and couches had been set out. I was offered one of the chairs. I felt such a pleasurable sense of relief, as if all the weight I had been carrying had now been lifted from me. I felt no fear at all, in fact I felt very secure. I was so happy I could have almost shouted for joy, and yet I couldn't have told you why. I really hadn't begun yet to register what was happening to me. I was still asking myself, is this all true or am I only dreaming? Am I really hearing properly? Am I really seeing properly? You are hearing and seeing perfectly correctly, my guardian angel said to me. You are no longer in the world of people, you are in the world of spirit. You are in God's realm. Do you understand what I am saying? He asked me with a note of insistence in his voice. You are now in the spiritual world of God. Yes, I responded, I understand. I believe dash. Yes. Must be so. After all, I had the proof of it myself in all the wonderful things I was experiencing. But, I asked, do I really deserve all this? And immediately I thought back to the painful times of before, and reflected, I built my whole life on my trust in God and on His powers. Yes, all this must be true. Yes, I am alive, now. The angel said to me, you must know that you will be compensated for all the wrong that was done to you. The heavenly world will reward you for all the suffering you have borne. You have had a very hard life and no one took the trouble to comfort you in any way. But we will give you our comfort now. Our comfort shall be yours to receive. In his Sermon on the Mount, Christ as surety said, blessed are they who sorrow, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5, 4. Your life was indeed a sorrowful one, and your heart, too, was filled with sorrow. But now we will comfort you, for yours was a holy suffering. You suffered because your family had no faith. Indeed, you often wept because of it. We were not able to dry your tears in any way you could see or feel, but we can do so now. Now you can be comforted by us. I looked all around me. Everyone there was a stranger to me, and yet they were all smiling at me. You see, said my guardian angel, they are all here to comfort you. And while he continued, saying, they want only to comfort you, I began to hear singing, and a crowd of the most delightful young spirit beings began to come towards me, singing and skipping, carrying various objects in their hands. In truth, I was now beginning to feel rather uncomfortable. I felt this was really too much kindness. I didn't want to be comforted by so many. I didn't need to be comforted anymore, I felt, and it seemed to me right to feel that way. After all, I was now living a blissful life and I simply didn't need to be comforted any more than I had been already. But my guardian angel had read my thoughts and said to me, you must get used to conditions in this world first. You know, spiritual laws cannot be altered. Everything is now proceeding in exact accordance with our law. At that I protested, somewhat ashamed, but have I really earned so much? I know I made mistakes, too. I know for certain that I did. Yes, my angel replied, you made mistakes, that has not escaped our notice, but we will talk about such things later. They are of no importance now. We wish you first to be properly comforted. We will, moreover, give you the reward you have earned. I had prayed so much and had indeed built my life upon Christ, so I responded, if our Savior is pleased with me, then I am happy. I want nothing more, but you shall have more. And as my angel continued speaking, the group of angelic beings began to lay their objects on the ground before me. Close by sat another rather striking figure, another divine spirit of God. He was seated on a particularly beautiful chair. I had not noticed him before. The pretty spirit beings who had spread out all their objects on the ground were now gathering round him and whispering to him, what, I couldn't make out. He in turn seemed to be giving them instructions. I watched as, one by one, they proceeded to show him the objects they had laid down. I watched all this take place, just as my guardian angel had invited me to do. I was now simply to let everything proceed without any protest on my part, I was told. They all wanted to comfort me, and, overjoyed, I decided just to let things take their own course. Then one of these handsome young spirit beings came over to me and picked up one of the objects lying on the ground. It was a small vessel containing the most wonderfully fragrant precious oil. The others standing around fanned the air with their hands so as to be able to breathe as much of the beautiful smell as they could. The handsome spirit being poured some of the oil over my hands and then proceeded to rub it into my hands and over my face and feet. L was being anointed with this wonderfully perfumed oil. Then the spirit withdrew. A second figure came forward and started to plait my hair. Can this really be happening? I asked myself. Quickly cast an eye over all the figures around me and at once realized how elegantly dressed they all were and what a noble bearing they all had. The thought suddenly came to me, but of course, I have to change my appearance. Otherwise I will be out of place among all these fine-looking beings. Very ingeniously, part of my hair was plaited and part combed out and left loose. I couldn't actually see how it looked, but the comments made by those present were enough to reassure me. I saw them look at me with surprise and tell each other how lovely I looked. There were colored ribbons, too, lying on the ground, and these were taken up and plaited into my hair as well. Again I saw astonished faces around me and heard voices saying how beautiful my hair was. And then the work of this spirit being, who was, as I thought she must be, an artist in such things, was finished. I felt sure that each of the beings around me had something they wanted to do for me, that each of them would embellish me in some way or another. First I had this precious soft rubbed into my skin, then I had my hair plaited. What was going to come now? Next I was brought a pair of open shoes with ribbons which were tied around my ankles in a most becoming way. Again the divine spirits around me all stared afresh and declared how lovely I looked. Finally a gown was brought for me to put on. I thought it tremendously beautiful. Indeed, I felt as if I now looked more beautiful than any of the angels around me, so wonderful were all the things I had been given to wear. I had never seen anything so lovely during the whole of my life on earth. I had truly been made into an angel. Do they realize it is me they have dressed so beautifully? I asked myself. But it was far from over. There were still plenty of ribbons hanging on the ground, and these were taken up and twisted and wound round my arms, and draped across my body, again, all in a very artistic way. The last word was given to the spirit being seated on the beautiful chair. He called to me to come over to him and asked me to turn round in front of him to show him all my finery. And truly, he found several things he wanted to be changed. Again the young spirit beings came rushing over, full of enthusiasm, and set to work to adjust my dress until the divine spirit was satisfied. When I stood ready, my dress and adornments complete, this handsome spirit being embraced me, and then began to bid me farewell. I thanked him as he did so, and then he took his leave. What was I to do now in all this finery, I wondered to myself. I still felt rather awkward dressed like this, although in fact I was soon to get used to it. Next my guardian angel returned to my side, and with him, my spiritual teacher. Together they asked all the beings present to come over to me, each in turn. One by one they gave me their hand and all of them had a happy or kind word to say to me. They told me things I couldn't at that point properly understand. They intended what they said to be words of comfort, but comfort which was no longer compassion, rather an expression of joy. Each of them extended an invitation to me to visit them in their homes, and they talked of celebrations and festivals. How can this be? I thought to myself, I can't possibly accept so many invitations. And I must say I still felt rather out of place. But Kais all changed when the spirits who had all worked to make me so beautiful began to form a procession to dance around dance, and gathering me up behind them encouraged me to dance with them for some distance. My guardian angel and my teacher followed, while the others stayed behind. And this was how I was given a tour of my surroundings in my new work. We are now going through all the planes which will be part of your new world, my guardian angel said to me. This is where you will be able to live in great commitment. Here you can carry on with your work to the glory of God, to the glory of our Savior, and to the glory of all the divine spires. I could only stare in amazement at this vast, new world. Is my world to be so big? I said to my guardian angel in astonishment. I surely don't need so much to be happy. This is only a tiny part of your good fortune and happiness, they both replied. I was constantly amazed by all the lovely things in this new world, a world filled with color and beauty. I truly was in a state of permanent astonishment, experiencing things I had never dreamt of finding in God's world. But then again, thought to myself, if such things exist on earth, why shouldn't they exist in heaven, too? As my spirit companions were leading me away, we were overtaken by a pack of dogs. They were all barking, but when I looked more closely, I could see that they were only playing. My guardian angel and my other companions would say to me, "Look! Look over here! And look over there! Just look at that!" I could not but feel happy. All my sadness had vanished indeed. I couldn't stop myself from singing and laughing along with the rest. I no longer had that feeling of there being a big gulf between me and the others. I had suddenly begun to feel on an equal footing with everyone else. I could sense their kindness and their warmth and the sincerity of their feelings towards me, and I really felt there was a bond of trust between us. This all happened quite suddenly. Eel was forever staring and exclaiming at the things they showed me. The animal world was also a part of this wonderful new world of mine. The most magnificent horses, for example. Who are these horses for? I asked. Have they nothing to do? Oh, certainly they have, came the reply. Hardly had I spoken than one of the pretty beings accompanying us started out from the group and swung himself up onto a horse. I watched him as he rode the horse at a gallop and then came back to join us again. Count the number of horses. Count them. And then count how many we are, called out another of the pretty spirit beings with us. I counted then, and there it was. There was exactly one horse for each spirit present. Indeed, they had arrived on horseback. To someone from earth these things seemed almost incredible, but heaven is full of such wonders. Yes, they said, heaven is indeed a place of wonders. If only people on earth knew something of the beauty that we have here. Do you live here, too, where I am going to be living, in this town, or this area, at Beast? I asked them all. No, no, they answered. Our world is far larger than yours. The scope of our work is much more extensive than yours as well, but we will certainly see one another again. And they added, you know our work is to do as our Redeemer wills. For has he not told the people of earth of the great bliss and beauty of heaven? And so it is our job to show these splendors to those who return home, and indeed very soon we shall be visiting another region of heaven to delight yet another soul returning home. I talked with this group of spirits for a while, and then they announced that their work with me was over. During all this time we had, of course, left the garden and the canopied area, and had begun to make our way through the new world where I was now to be living, a world which seemed to me to be of limitless dimensions and infinite in its beauty. This is not all there is, they said, laughing. But I must say I truly couldn't imagine anything beyond this. They bade me farewell, shook my hand, and mounted their horses. We, my guardian angel, my teacher and myself, wanted to return together to the covered area in the garden. But we were not allowed to walk. We could simply have floated off with the rest, but at just the moment the others were leaving, a carriage drawn by horses arrived, and I and my two companions were invited to step inside. And that is how we were taken back to the bower in the garden. This garden was to be part of my home. For the time being, I would go out to do my work and return here afterwards. As yet I had not seen my house, There had been so many new things for me to marvel at and admire. I felt as if I had been in this blissful world for a long, long time.